And it is time for our movie reviews. Movie reviews are brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, seeking justice for the injured. You can learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. Here with our movie reviews is Tim Lammers.
New in theaters is Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the third Ant-Man film and the first film in Phase 5 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly return as Ant-Man and the Wasp, who are accidentally sucked into the quantum realm, along with Hope's mom and dad, played by Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas, as well as the now-grown Cassie Lang, Paul Rudd's adult daughter, played by Catherine Newton. As such, the bulk of Quantumania finds Ant-Man and company trying to find their way out of the very dangerous quantum realm, which is brilliantly realized through the use of a stunning CGI animation. The quantum realm is like another universe, and at times the movie has a cool Star Wars feel to it because of the plethora of beings that inhabit it. The movie isn't perfect, as it feels like there's way too much action stuffed into the film's two-hour runtime. Still, it's very entertaining, especially with the introduction of the MCU's new major villain, Kang the Conqueror, expertly played by Jonathan Majors. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, is new in theaters.
You know, when I watch the ads for it on TV, the trailer and stuff, I'm really confused. Like, I'm like, what is going on? There's a lot of stuff going on, it seems like. It just doesn't, like, all tie together exactly?
It does. It does. You know, I mean, obviously it does help if you can remember. The problem is with these movies, Kelly, is that they're, you know, a couple, 3 years apart sometimes. And it's like, oh, my gosh, all right, what is this exactly? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, the quantum realm is this tiny, tiny universe, you know, of nothingness that, you know, exists in a particle of dust almost, if not smaller than that. And in that, it's in an entire universe of its own. And so That's what we have going here. You know, it's just a different world, a different universe where, you know, much like if you were, say, to go out in space, you know, you would find a different universe and eventually a different planet or whatever Where everything is different, where there are actually aliens, whether you want to believe that or not. I do, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not alone.
I find it hard to believe that we're the only thing in this vast universe.
Exactly. And so this takes place in a much different setting than the previous two Ant-Man movies. The first one was essentially, the first one is essentially a heist movie, right? And you know, it took place, you know, involving Scott Lang and getting this suit back that makes him shrink down to ant size. And, you know, eventually, you know, the character did show up in other movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And now we're just getting, you know, we're digging in deep to, you know, Ant-Man's world, I guess you could say, And everything that goes on when you get really, really tiny and you eventually enter another universe. So, you know, I mentioned Star Wars. It reminds me of that because there are all these different creatures. You know, you have everything that's going on here. You know, you have bars and stuff like that. You know, like the cantina in Star Wars.
Oh, I love it.
So, you know, you get that setting. And then, of course, you have a bad guy. And the bad guy was introduced in the Loki the first season. There's going to be a second one. And he is Kang the Conqueror, played by Jonathan Majors. So, you know, this kicks off another phase. I mean, you got to remember how many shows and films, I mean, now do we have? I mean, probably approaching 30, if not more than that. So, yeah, there's a lot to take in and a lot to, you know, keep straight and remember when you come into a new movie like this.
Right. Now, this one, it's a PG-13 movie, right? So kids can go see this one?
Yeah, they can. And you know what? There's obviously there's a difference between violence and a Godfather movie or whatever, or a horror film, and then superhero violence. You know, I mean, it's a lot of action. You know, they're shooting, but they're shooting with, you know, ray guns or whatever, blasters, you know, that, you know, so it's a different sort of thing. Now, there is some hand-to-hand combat, you know, too, but no, I mean, it's not like they're throwing around F-bombs and there's not really any blood or anything like that.
Okay.
So, you know, it's really, you know, parents, I guess, have been, you know, really come to be comfortable with these sorts of films for their kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, yeah, it is PG-13. I suppose they're being very cautious for those reasons. But they're careful not to cross the line into the R territory. Now, there are some R-rated superhero films like the last Wolverine movie, Logan, and, of course, Deadpool, where they throw the F-bomb around and it get bloody and all that kind of stuff. But these aren't those kinds of movies.
I'm trying to think of the one I saw a preview for the other day. Lisa Bonet's husband, what's his name? Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's like, I don't know if he's a bad guy or a good guy. I think he's a bad guy in kind of a superhero movie. Do you know what that is?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine he has something coming up, and I could look that up. But, I mean, I do know that he has the next Aquaman movie coming up.
Mm.
But the guy is very busy. Oh, you know what it is? It's Fast 10. It's the Fast and Furious.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. The Fast and Furious, because I'm like, he looks like a really, like, he's a bad guy. I don't know.
Yeah, he can play good and bad. I mean, I really like the guy. I think he's really terrific in his films. And again, he's got Aquaman coming up. Now, that whole thing is going to change with the superhero stuff because there's a new person ahead of DC, James Gunn, who has directed Marvel films and DC films.
Oh.
So most of the previous actors are... You know, they're going to reboot everything.
Okay.
But Jason Momoa, yeah, he does look bad in that. And that actually did premiere with the Super Bowl, didn't it?
I think so. I was like, where did I see that? Because I was like, oh, what is this? And then I thought, wait, is it another Fast and Furious? Like, it's another one. How many have there been?
Yeah, well, I think this is the 10th one. And I'm trying to think if there's any more after this or this is it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's been a big franchise for Vin Diesel, obviously. And then, you know, you've had different people come through the years through the franchise, like The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Mm-hmm. And then John Cena was in the last one. Now it's Jason Momoa's turn. So, you know, it's attracted some pretty heavy star power.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that film's going to be loaded with action as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's nice to see, you know, those previews of movies that are going to be coming out this summer. It kind of makes you melt the snow in your mind and the ice in your mind, because it's been more about ice this week, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
With the melting.
You know.
You know, so, yeah. So, but, you know, it's interesting because February, a time for superhero movies. I mean, generally, movies didn't really kick off, you know, that. Your January and February at the movies for movie going were pretty dead. Now they're starting to stick in these movies that, you know, that are normally spring movies or summer movies like Ant-Man in there. And, you know, by all indications, I mean, it did pretty good last night in previews, $17-18 million, which
is
hard for us to fathom that kind of money, but in movie money, that's a good start.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if that's all it makes this weekend, then it's in trouble. But no, it's getting people to the theaters, and that's exactly what theaters need right now.
There was something else during the Super Bowl that they had, and it was my favorite commercial because it took me a while to figure out what was going on. It was the creepy rabbits and throwing people down the rabbit hole. Did you see that? It was almost like they were creepy clowns, but they threw them down the rabbit hole. So they really weren't bad after all. It's just like... Tubi, no. I think, is the new thing. But, you know, the thing I don't know if I like or... Here's the thing. All of these new networks, right? You got Paramount, you got Tubi. I don't know what the one that Drew Barrymore is about. She's promoting something else. You got Hulu. You got all this stuff. And last year, maybe the year before, I got hooked on that Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
And...
That's an Apple TV Plus.
Was it Apple TV Plus before?
Yeah, that's where it started. That's where it's been. It's been a huge hit for them. And that's season three, and I believe this is the third and last season for that show. So,
I mean, I loved that show.
You know, it's so interesting because I am the opposite of everybody else. I just, maybe I didn't watch enough of it. It didn't capture my imagination the way it has with other people. I mean, I know a lot of people that love it. And again, I'm not saying that I'm right and you're wrong or you're, you know, whatever. It's just that it's weird how this movie, that show, has become such of a phenomenon. And it's like, okay,
you're like,
I missed something in the first couple episodes because I didn't laugh that much.
Well, whole thing about Ted Lasso is that no matter what the situation is, he's always looking at the positive. He's always, always looking at the positive, even when things are just going a mess. And he keeps that going for the entire time. He's always a good guy.
And that's what I've heard about that show from a lot of people in that, you know, with the pandemic and you know, the state of the world when that show first came about, was that, yes, it was all positivity. And, you know, the funny thing is, Kelly, and you know me, I mean, my life is all about being positive.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I glom onto a show like that? What's wrong with me?
Well,
you know, so maybe I do need to take another look at it because, you know, again, that's the power of positivity is how I operate, right? So, maybe I will give that another shot. So,
and there's that one that I keep wanting to like, but I just can't get into it. And that's the one that's about the 80s and all the little kids.
The 90s show?
No, I love that, but it was before that. And it's got a bunch of kids, but the whole series takes place in the 80s. So they got cassette tapes and boom boxes in it.
Stranger Things.
Yeah, and everybody says, it's super great, and I just can't get into it. I can't break past the second or third episode because I have to keep rewatching it because I don't remember what happened the first time.
You know what?
I don't know.
Confession to make, I am exactly the same. Not that I disliked it, I just haven't really, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a whiner or anything, but I haven't found the time.
Yeah.
You know, when it came out, And generally, I mean, here's my thing. I mean, with watching streaming TV shows, I review those as well. And, you know, you get a grasp of the show in the first couple, three episodes, and you review it. And if you really love it, you watch the rest of it. Otherwise, the next week, there's a whole other slate of shows to review. And it's just one of those things where I don't know what it was. I just didn't ever find the time to do it. And then, you know what else is tough is, you know, when it gets up into 2, 3, 4 seasons, it's like, oh my God, I got 24 episodes to watch of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's part of the reason why I've never watched Breaking Bad. I know.
I haven't either.
Critic.
I haven't. I know. But that's, I get
I always
what you
say
saying.
Though, but my thing is I'm a movie critic first, right?
Yeah.
So I can always say, well, and that's the truth. I mean, you know, I have to generally find, you know, take time for the movies first, and then I do entertainment writing on top of all that other stuff and on top of the reviewing. So, but yeah, I do want to see Stranger Things because it is totally my vibe.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, you know, you're right. It's just funny how sometimes everybody loves something, and for one reason or another, I did see the pilot for Breaking Bad years ago, but I never got past the first episode.
Just
so I will eventually get a chance to look at that.
Yeah. Is there anything else coming? Well, here's one that I found, and it's on Fox. And we've seen previews, and I think it was during the Super Bowl as well, but it was Animal Control. So we watched that on Fox. Was it last night or the night before? I don't remember. One night this week, anyway, and it looks like it's going to be really cute, but it kind of reminds me of The Office sort of humor, you know, like with Amy Poehler, and I love that kind of stuff, just kind of dumb and, you know, just silly stuff.
Yeah, kind of like a mock documentary style.
Kind of, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, you know, I think and it's really weird because with streaming, I watch so much streaming that I don't really have a lot of time for even broadcast TV anymore.
Yeah.
And the broadcast networks, I mean, they're having a hard time now. I mean, I think last week for the first time ever, streaming had a bigger ratings and it beat broadcast in terms of watch minutes. Yeah. So that's, and I think what the deal is with streaming, it's much like cable before that, is the fact that there are so many restrictions, FCC restrictions, that are upon, you know, the broadcast stuff, because generally it's accessible to everybody broadcast,
mm-hmm.
that you know, they can't drop the F-bombs. They got to be careful about the violence. They can't, you know, there's no swearing, no cursing, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that puts them a few steps behind their competition, you know, when you're getting a place like streaming where it is relatively affordable as long as you don't get all of the services, which right. I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, so, yeah, I'm paying for all that streaming, so it's like, you know what, I gotta get my money's worth out of this, right?
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, then you see something, a show I love, Mayor of Kingstown, the second season. It's brutally violent, but it's such of a fascinating series that you know, I make appointments to. We watch the new episodes. They come every Sunday. We watch them every Sunday morning. Because it's that fascinating of a show. But, yeah, it's hard to keep up with everything, that's for sure.
Well, and for me, like, what I do is, like, I'll have to go back to Apple Plus now, because I thought I was watching that on Netflix or Hulu or something. So I will get rid of one, probably Hulu, because I watch it the least, and it's only $6, and then I'll replace it with Apple Plus for a while, because I can only afford two. And it depends on
there
the cost,
well,
right?
Well, there are deals out there. You just have to look for them. So, yeah, definitely get it.
All right.
You love the show, that's what matters.
Exactly. Well, thank you for being here today. I appreciate it. It's Tim Lammers for your movie reviews, brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, Seeking Justice for the Injured. Learn more at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.